Ah, vai ser por aí. Hello, pizza. Checking you can all hear me today. Good evening. Yeah, good. You can hear me. Thank you, Barbara. Although I do look rather naked, don't I? Do you think I should put something else on? I have got clothes on. I promise. It's rather
Right, can
warm
you hear
here.
me?
Yeah, can you now? Yeah, got you.
Good. Right, and we've got today a few.
Give me a number.
We got 25 so far, including me. That's all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't
Okay.
matter.
Yeah, we could always carry on without me.
No. I don't go anywhere. I need you.
Okay.
Give me the Carly instructions first, and then you can do whatever you like.
Oh, yeah, I'll send those over. Yeah.
Everyone. So, are we recording? I don't think we are. So let's start that, shall we?
I think it is, isn't it? I said to a minute when I came on, I
It
said it
is.
was
It is.
recording.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yep.
Yes, it is. It is. Thank you very
Yep.
much. So, welcome to October, everybody. It is October. I'm not sure of the weather, what it's like where you are, if it's hot, if it's cold. Here, we're coming into monsoon season now, so it's a little bit rainy, but it's still quite muggy. And today is Saturday, the 7th of October. And today, Peter will be talking to you about intuition and logic. A link has gone into the chat. About his or referring you to his latest article, his latest blog, Intuition and Logic and What Blocks Them. So, if you have not yet had a look at that article, it's a very, very interesting read, certainly made me think. And a couple of other of announcements before we go into today's topic. And of course, as always, if you have any topic related or non-topic related questions, then please do pop them in the chat, as always. First off, the dates for the manifestation point holding course have changed. We now start on the 6th of November. So, if you are a point holder and you have already attended one of Peter's either online or in-person point holding courses, you don't have to have done the 3-week intensive. You just need to have done 1 week with Peter. If you've done those, then please do take a look at the Manifestation Center course and why it's important for that to be cleared at this time. Peter, do you want to say something about that? Why it's prominent right now for the Manifestation Center to be clear?
Because there's so much, well, blockages in the world, basically, look at it. So many problems coming in. People need to speed up manifestation. It's almost like people losing hope. There being so much crushing the hope, all the lockdowns and everything and all the trouble in the world. People don't feel the power to manifest the reality anymore. It was hard enough to start with, some people's results are too slow and inconsistent. So it's time now people need a little push so they can actually really see for themselves that they do create a reality and get on with creating it and not be put off by what's happening in their world around them that's trying to show them otherwise. It's time to really take your power back here and actually get on with creating the reality you want.
Very much. So once again, if you are an experienced point holder, if you've done it before, then this course could potentially be for you. So please do take a look. Link in the chat. So there is a revised and revamped version of the relationship and love magic. So maybe this is you creating your reality and manifesting what you want. So if better relationships and more love, romantic relationships, and just better relationships in general is what you are after, then maybe you want to take advantage of this early bird offer for the new revamped and revised relationship and love magic course. As you can see, the link has gone in the chat, and the early bird is $147 until midnight on Wednesday, and then it goes up to $177. So, Peter, relationship and love magic, please.
Well, basically, it's important because when you really look at the healing process, all your traumas basically come from relationships, whether it's your parents, past intimate relationships, business relationships, all the traumas happen to you, all your power loss, everything is all about people. So it's quite obvious that we need to get that one right because this is the root of all your problems. And it's the most complicated subject to deal with. This is really why I've taken so long into actually getting this one together. It's taken the most work because it's a very complex subject. This is here to actually get to the root of all relationship problems. And interesting enough, this is also going to relate to what we're doing today about intuition and logic. This is all about the masculine and feminine energies, seeing how they interact. So there's an answer to many things within that course. When you get relationships right, you get everything right. Your money comes from your business relationships. It doesn't fall out of the air, it comes through people. Everything in your life is coming through people. When your relationships are off, everything is off. And but also the intimacy in the love itself is something people really want deep down. You know, it's one of the things that really makes you decide how happy you are. And so, you know, this is a very, very important subject. So not many people realize just how important it is. They almost put relationships secondary to all the other things I think are important. Trying to get their career right and their business and their security and, you know, enough money because they're working so hard and always trying to pay the rent and whatever. And it's like, you know, they forget about the important things like love. Yeah, actually, love is the source of all your transformation. This should really go first. If you're in line with that, everything else gets easier.
If anyone is thinking I'm looking particularly more sexually attractive or magnetic, then it's the result of me revamping the course and taking all the empowerments. Moving on. Thanks, Stefan. I'm going to take that as not as a laughing out loud. I'm going to take that as a yes. I just want to alert you all to the next magical membership workshop, which will be happening at the end of this month on Saturday, the 28th of October. So if you are a member, then do come along for magically breaking bad habits and creating new beneficial ones. So I'm sure we could all write a list of the bad ones that we've got, and we could
Hang
all
on.
write a list of the good what? Have I
Oh,
got
yeah,
it
okay. Wait,
wrong?
so this next one is we've just done the higher self one, haven't we? Yep, that's all right then. I've just
Still
got,
got.
I forget myself where we're at. Okay, that's the next
Hey,
one,
that's why you've got me. That's why you've got me. Don't worry
yeah.
about it. So anyway, Pete hasn't got a clue what's going on in the world of Aziz shamanism, but thankfully I have. So I think it's the result of the relationship of love magic. We've got a great relationship. Anyway, magically breaking bad habits and creating new beneficial ones. Saturday, the 28th of October. I am correct, and it is at the later time so that we can work with the US participants as well. So it's at 1:30 p.m. UK time. So just bear that in mind and do come along. Replays available, of course. And if you are not a member, you can still come along. Link has gone in the chat. So, Peter, before we go over to the topic of today, I'm going to ask you to adjust your camera angle because all I can see is your forehead.
Oh, okay.
A little bit more, that would
Just
be
my lid.
wonderful. Yeah.
How's that?
Okay, that's so much better. Now we can see you. So thank you very much. And over to you for intuition and logic. I'll see everybody else in the chat.
Okay. Let's get this out of my way.
I'll spotlight you as well.
Yeah, okay, though. I'm good. Okay, so hopefully you've read the blog because I don't want to actually repeat all the same material. So I want to go on a bit. Because obviously, when you're looking at the intuition and logic, this is actually linked to the feminine and masculine within us. Both have to work together in all things. This is actually a lot we're covering in the relationship course as well. How the two opposites must always work together. If they're split, you've got problems. Because power always flows between two poles. Like a battery has its positive and negative, magnets have their north and south poles. Power is always flowing between opposites. If there's disharmony, you haven't got power. Power comes from the balance of opposites. If you don't embrace opposites but always seem as conflictual, you're not in touch with your power. And this is where things go wrong in so many different areas. Now, when it comes to intuition and logic, people often separate the two instead of realizing how they can work together, or rather, how they actually do work together when you use them properly. As I've pointed out in my article, intuition is always, it always precedes and suffixes logical thought. Like when anything is developed, it always starts with intuition. The first data you get to have to work with, you should have logically, comes through intuition. You have an intuitive idea about something. Then you get some data, you know, extrapolate it as far as you can to get a logical answer. Then intuition takes over again to get the next step. So they're always switching from one to the other. When both are working, this is how you progress and you actually get the answers you're seeking, how you keep growing and expanding in our knowledge and actually our awareness of how we can actually create our world and actually get what we want, how we shape our reality. But what happens, people often think in order to be intuitive, they have to get rid of the logical mind. But it doesn't work that way. Because if you get rid of one half of a polarity, you still lost the power. You need the polarity there. Without the logical mind, intuition comes to stop as well, because it only goes so far. The only logic is meant to actually extrapolate the data to actually get a, you know, get more information before logic, before intuition takes over again. And as I was pointing out in the blog, it's not logic that blocks intuition. It's not true that you're in one side of the way nor the other. The two are always working together. So intuition doesn't stop when you're logical. It's paused for a moment, and then intuition takes over again, because the two are always working together. It's a bit like your left and right legs when you're walking. You use one at a time, but there's a sequence going. You can't just cut one off. So the big mistake people make in thinking that logic is what blocks intuition is that they don't actually know what logic is. When people actually talk about logic, they're usually actually using institutionalized thinking. Like, everybody knows this. Well, that's not logical. How does everybody know that? Nobody knows. Everybody doesn't know everything, because it's like logic requires you to have complete and adequate data and control of all the variables. You can actually apply the logic through inductive or deductive reasoning to actually get an answer. And as I pointed out, logic is not capable of being wrong. If it's wrong, if you're lacking data, well, your logic has been faulty. Neither intuition or logic can ever be wrong. Intuition is in the knowing. If it's wrong, then you didn't know it wasn't intuition. So it's important to realize that neither intuition nor logic are faulty. If they're working together, one up the other, you get the information you need to actually develop the life you want. So what goes wrong? You see, this fault isn't just with intuition and logic, it's with all things, the masculine and feminine. People seem to split and have one, not the other. And quite often, it's in the most of the world, it's like chauvinism taking over, so people go to the masculine side. Then others are rebelling and say, no, we want the feminine, and start rejecting the masculine. And so then there's always problems. It's never quite a harmonious life being created. So you see society being swinging from one side to the other. Many years ago, back in Atlantis, the feminine was overbalanced, and people got so afraid of that that the masculine's become overbalanced. That's destroying the world as well in different ways. People are still not getting how the two work together. So the first thing to realize is that you've got two poles, and they have to learn to work together for power to flow. But only when they work together do you get what you want. So in case of intuition, it's like, first of all, it is not certainty. When some people are too certain, that it's not intuition. Intuition doesn't have a feeling about it. It's like a flash, which is inspiring. It feels good. It's exciting. And there's a certain wonder about it. You don't know all the answers yet. It's taking you somewhere. Once you become certain, you've closed everything down. You're not looking anymore. That is not a flow of consciousness. Neither intuition nor logic function once you think you are certain about something. And actually, what you call them. What they call it in psychology, almost but now this word in the article what you call it, almost chronic certainty. When people are certain about things without actually having all the exploration, without having all the reasons, all the kind of proof or anything, they're certain anyway. That is not intuition. That's a closed mind not wanting to look. And quite often there's fear behind that. Quite often to get so stuck in their viewpoint, and they're so afraid to change that because of the security is now based upon that, that they don't want it to be upset. You find this happens in your life. Sometimes you have to look at what your security is based upon. Sometimes based on an idea, and if that idea is wrong, your security is gone. So what happens then is that you'll protect that idea and won't look at any logical reason or intuition. Pardon?
I need to restart. There's a hack.
What's that?
Restarting. I'm being hacked here, right?
What's that coming? What's coming in there?
See whose mic's off. So carry on, Peter, and then I'll
Okay.
ask again. If it's a question, please pop it in the chat.
So basically, when somebody's certain that it's not intuition, neither is it logic. You see, even logic isn't perfect because we never have all the data. We can only get a result from the information we've got now. This is why science is always developing. People have theories and they work for a while, and then suddenly they find some new information, and the theories change. This is how science progresses. So neither intuition or logic can be wrong, yet neither are either certain. So when you're certain, you're probably going to be wrong. Because what you're doing is protecting your point of view, which can be changing by information that's coming from the outside world. So people are stuck in this chronic certainty. They don't want to take in any new information. Therefore, they insist that this is the way, only way, even though they haven't got any proof. It's not intuition functioning, it's not logic functioning. It's just an emotional kind of blockage. So it's important to realize that when you're certain that it's not intuition. So the first 2 points, remember, neither intuition or logic can be wrong, and neither are certain. So this is another point we have to look at. Why do people need to be certain? We come across this a lot in the path of healing, where people want the answers to everything all the time. And quite often that, again, is an emotional block. Rather than actually welcome the feeling, they want to work it out mentally. And so why? And people are always looking to the reason why they got this problem, why this is like this. And the thing is, while you're seeking logically, you never actually get there. Because people make conclusions about the unknown. Rather than actually leave the empty space where I don't know, people want to fill it with something. And you see this ready-made answers in life all the time. Find this in the healing, for instance, when people are trying through emotions. Why did this happen? Come with answers like, it must be my karma, I must be cursed, I must be a karmic debt from a past life. All these ready-made answers you don't actually know. We use those to fill the gaps when you don't know. And actually, what you remember is that not knowing is also a creation. You have to welcome that too sometimes. How does it feel not to know? Why is that so insecure? There are so many things we don't know. We don't go through life with certainty. That's an illusion. So this is a big one to let go of, certainty. Intuition and logic are not giving you certainty, but are giving you expansion and constant exploration and furthering yourself. When you're certain about anything, you've closed it down and you're probably going to be wrong. So basically then, when we are trying to develop this intuition, just like in a path of healing, it's these ready-made answers we are certain about that always get in the way. They get you fixed where you don't look at anything else. You don't discover what the real problem is because you've got a ready-made answer. And quite often these are the same everybody else has got, and therefore everybody takes them as law in the end. Everybody agrees, therefore it must be right. But it's not logical either. Because everybody's followed the same old pattern. There wasn't any proof in the first place. How can all, so why should anybody be right in the first place? Therefore, why are all the people following them be right? Do you see the total lack of logic within that? Doing what everybody else does is not logical. That's the herd instinct. That again is a fear reaction. We want security, we don't know how to create it ourselves, we haven't got power to create our own life. We follow the herd and think it's safe there. Quite often that means following the one in charge or the leader, and you should know by now you can't trust them at all. Those are people who give the power away all the time and end up in a mess. So the herd instinct, this is what will cause us to give the power away. And also it is why we take on ready-made answers from the world around us rather than using intuition or logic to come to a real conclusion about anything. So you see, to be empowered, it does require us to think for ourselves. Not just thinking, but listening to our own intuition as well. And that intuition isn't functioning when you need to be certain, because you're afraid of being in the unknown. This is a big one as well, then. Accept being in the unknown. Accept the things you don't know. And quite often you don't know what's going to happen in the world later. You're trying to create what you want, yes. And really, the only safe way to actually predict the future is to create it. If you're not creating it, you don't know what's going to happen. You're looking for other sponsors saying, people predicting the future or people saying they're creating a better world for you. And it's like, well, that's an illusion too. It's not secure. To come back to the basic main rule of the New Age is that we create our own reality. Or a more truthful side of that is that we co-create our reality. Therefore, giving it over to somebody else and not trusting your own power is going to move away from the very spirit. So therefore, we do have to use intuition and logic to think for ourselves, and as well as create our future, so we actually know what we're creating because we're creating it. You see, all these things work together. They fit very much with a part of magic, a part of creation, our responsibility for creating the world that we want. Responsibility for our power, knowing that we are creating the future. This very much fits in with expectation as well. I've spoken about this very much when we were looking at creation, because it's one of the tools of creation. We need desire, imagination, expectation. Part of the reason why we expect things is because you're creating them. That's simple. Part of you don't know what to expect because you haven't got a normal or the logic that leads to what might happen. But when you're creating something, you put thought out. Expectation begins to grow as you grow in your power because this is what you're creating. An expectation is about looking beyond. That's what it means when you look at it. X is beyond. Spect is about vision, like perspective, how you see things. To expect is to look beyond. You look at what you've got and seeing where it's going. The only reason you expect something is because you see things that are leading towards it. If you're not doing that, then it's not expectation. And then people have other things they replace expectation with, like entitlement. I ought to get this, but actually that doesn't mean you expect it. And entitlement won't create it, only expectation does. So you can see how this all works together. If you're not using logic and intuition along with our creative process, then the expectations we have are also false. You ought to expect the future you're creating. You've got to put a certain energy into creating it, and also be honest with yourself about your own emotions or your own blockages, so you can actually work through those, so you actually see it going somewhere. And then along the way, both logic and intuition help you understand where you're going, and understand helps you understand the steps, whether it's happening or not, whether you've still got some blockages to remove, and what those blockages might be. So intuition gives you guidance about things that are more relevant for you and your creation. Not telling you about what's going to happen in the world that's nothing to do with you, because you're hoping that the world will change. Or that somebody else might change because you're not doing anything to change your own life. That's not intuition working, that's wishful thinking. Again, this is another big thing which gets in the way of intuition and expectation, wishful thinking. You'd like this to happen, so you pretend that's what you expect, but actually you don't really expect it. If you expect, you've got to look at where it's going. A simple example, I'm going to actually go to relationships for this one because we spoke about that as well in terms of masculine and feminine. Supposing you meet a new person and you say, I expect this one to really work because, now you're really hopeful. But yet, when you really look at how you are and how they function, you might expect something completely different. You might say, oh, my own pattern is I lose my relationship after 6 months. Their pattern is that they break up after 3 months. They keep doing it. Therefore, what we really expect is that in 3 months' time, we're going to split up again. And it's going to be same old pattern. Unless I've done something really major to change that, of course. But my wishful thinking, you say, no, this one's going to work. No, you're not looking. It's not real until you're looking at the process and see where it's going and being responsible for that process. So you see that we also grow as masculine and feminine. Whereas the intuition side is feminine, it's not just the logic, but the will, the focus is masculine. When you use logical mind, you should also be using will, directing it somewhere. This is where I want to create, therefore, here are the rational step to do it. But reason and logic don't tell me all the steps, so I need some intuition as well to fill in the gaps, and then see how it all works together. So this is quite a complex process when you look at it, but it's actually really natural when the masculine and feminine are in balance. Because the feminine, the anima, holds the intuition, whereas your masculine side, the animus, animacy, yes, it holds the kind of logic, the will, the focus, the harnessing and directing, the action. So you see, when those together, it's like poles of a battery, power flows, things happen. Okay, any questions so far?
We have a few. Thank you very much. Going over to the pre-submitted questions that we have on MeWe. First of all, how do we know if our logic is based on what we are told and fear? Intuition is telling me not to buy into breast screening, but my mum also died of breast cancer. I don't know what to trust.
Well, there is no logic there because you haven't got all the data. Just because one person died of breast cancer doesn't mean he's going to get it. Where's the logical sequence there? You can have a fear, yes, and you might want to look and be careful. But is breast screening the best way? How about your own feeling? Can you look at all the other things that cause cancer? Can you look at the emotional side of cancer, the chemical side of cancer, and whether you're doing anything about that? Whether you have enough trust in your own process of living and healing yourself. If you understand the cause of cancer, all the different causes of cancer, and you know you're not doing those things, then you can be pretty sure it's not going to happen. But if you think it's just because your mother died of cancer, then it doesn't mean that you're going to get it or not get it. There's no logic in that. And intuition is not based on fear either. It can be very difficult to actually listen to your intuition when you're into fear because the fear is speaking louder. To be intuitive, you'd have to have a quiet mind. It's when you're all caught up in emotion, obviously you have to deal with the crisis first. We did another workshop of crisis a little while ago around how we pull out this underpinning so it vanishes. Because the crisis, all that kind of overwhelmed feeling is an emotion like any other that has to be released first. So basically, yes, you have to go through the emotion first so we can be in a clear space to listen to intuition, but also look at all the data. Remember, logic requires complete and adequate data. Look at all the things at course cancer and see, check off which one of those you're doing or not doing. Then you can be logical about it.
Question is, logic and intuition correspond to left, masculine, and right, feminine sides of the brain, but the split between the brain doesn't seem to be like a natural evolutionary response. What is the best way to coordinate the hemispheres?
Several things called the hemispheres. I mean, first of all, the way brain is structured, so they're meant to work together. There's a span between called the corpus callosum, which unites the two. And all information passing from one side to the other passes through this corpus callosum, which happens to be in the shape of a Möbius strip, which means it's 180-degree phase change. So therefore, they are going to be different in the way they seem to kind of interact, and yet there's a common flow. They're different, but they flow together. What's happened? They've split because people go into one side or the other. And there's several things that do that. First of all, the world in general has become too logical and doesn't respect intuition anymore. They want proof of everything. Everything becomes scientific. Therefore, the feminine has been closed down. But also, trauma does it. You see, when you're under great stress, there's two ways of coping. Either you become totally irrational, so you don't feel it, or you get lost in the imagination and the chaos of it, and you're not rational anymore. So you tend to go for one side or the other, not both. Several things bring them together. Actually, one of the common ways is poetry. So because, the rhythmical side is right brain and the words are left brain. When you read poetry, you actually coordinate the two halves of the brain. Quite simple, really, isn't it? Of course, the exercise you can do it, in kinesiology of what you call the cross-calling, the lazy eights, and you can look those up to help this premise, to help the brain work together on a physical level by getting the neural pathways to cross in the right way. But simplest way through poetry. And of course, it happens naturally when you release your emotional traumas. See, even the process of healing we go through, you actually welcome the emotions. You're focused. You're not actually lost in emotion. You've got direction. You're deliberately welcoming and letting go. But you're feeling as well. Therefore, the right brain and left brain again work together to achieve the healing. And they coordinate perfectly. When you release the emotional trauma, they're back together again. So the process of healing we're doing is coordinating the left and right brains again. Therefore, the more healing you do, the more rational and intuitive you're going to become.
Can we intuit an important change in direction in one's life? Logic is sometimes bound to facts from past experiences. I often want to know the future in advance and the best version.
Yes, it's true. Yes, intuition does help, but as I said, logic is used as well. Although just because something happened in the past doesn't mean it's going to happen again, but actually you can look at patterns. If you see certain things have led together to produce certain results, you can expect those results to happen again when you've got the same criteria. So you can actually see patterns, and which will actually help you guide you to what future you're creating. But remember, as I said, you're creating the future. It's not fixed. You're creating it. So this all comes into it. So when it comes to predicting the future, there are many things to take into account. What you're doing about it, first of all. It's not going to be fixed because you're creating it. And both the actions as well as through your meditations, you're focusing, you're actually manifesting it. And the discreating of the negatives, all these things are having an effect. Many other things around you are having an effect. So when you're logical, you look at all the different influences and see where it's most likely to go, but it won't tell you everything. Intuition is a bit which comes through quite often your higher self saying, yes, you can do this if you do this. It gives you some guidance. Do this to make sure it happens. Here's a problem you have to get rid of. This is what's going to make it all come together. So intuition c comes when you actually focused on getting a result. Because it's like it's no good trying to predict the future when it's like you're not doing anything to create it, because there's too many variables here. It can change all the time. But if you are actually focused on wanting to create something, you begin to activate your higher self as well. They'll actually give you the guidance you need to get there. Okay, do this meditation, get rid of that process, set in motion. Take this action, make this choice, you can make it happen.
Very much. That's all of the intuition related questions that we have for the time being. So I'll now go on to the non-topic related questions. So first one, people often say that actions speak louder than words. However, I find it unhelpful as it seems to only be half of the creative process. I prefer to speak my truth and state what I am creating and then take action upon what I'm creating with my thoughts and words. How would you
Okay.
explain to a, yeah, how would you explain to a person who doesn't communicate in words by only in actions, as there is often a delay between their thoughts and the creation, and this can cause misunderstanding as it can seem that they are not doing anything, or do I need to adjust to people with this attitude and give them space and be patient?
Sometimes you can't communicate with them, and that's okay, simply because when you're actually creating a reality, it's best to do it by yourself secretly, because other people always interfere. They don't get it, they start putting negatives in, and they try to lead you away from it and start putting doubts in and blocking the process. There's a saying, great things are done in secret. So really, you don't really want to share your creative process with those who don't get it. Somebody who does get it and actually support you in it is great, but most people don't. They're stuck in their own way. And again, these are ready-made answers people have, like, this saying, actions speak louder than words. It was made for a certain situation. And so, and it's relevant in that situation. Like, for instance, doing something, you're saying more about who you are than talking about it. People need to see the action, so you know what you're saying is real. So that's going to be a good guiding point there. When it comes to avoiding saying something because you think, no, I don't want that, just the action, again, that's closing mind, not letting full communication, because obviously words are used in communication. Yes, actions show you something, but if you don't actually speak, won't use words, you're not going to communicate very well. Once again, it's not one or the other, it's a combination of things. But words are a big part of our communication these days. Animals are different, they don't speak so many words, but they have all kinds of body language, other actions which guide each other so they know what you're all about. But people tend to use words, backed up by actions, of course. It's like, if you actually gone to a foreign country like we are over here, we soon learn you can communicate with people who don't speak the same language. And there's almost like universal languages happening through your actions and your signs and all sorts of things we communicate. So it's not all about words, but you see, words are pretty important. So we have to be careful not to use these sayings in a rigid way to actually close from something. If somebody uses this because they don't want to listen to words, that's just a limitation. It's not worth talking to them about it. They're stuck, they don't want to change, they don't want to listen. That's where they are, so don't even bother. Do your work secretly and just go and create your own reality and let them create theirs.
Question. I think I've picked up a heavy demon that hasn't yet responded to my exorcism. Can the demonic disease talisman and the curse plus entity removing orb on the ultimate healing kit actually clear out most demons and entities? Or
It can.
have you developed faster ways of clearing out stubborn demons, or do we need to go back to longer methods such as the breath work to de-strip the nerve sheaths and so on?
There's many ways, but it already depends on getting the right angle. Remember I spoke about demons. Some are actually from the outside, some are your own creation from the laws you push deeper. Those take hard to get to because you actually got to look, understand the law behind them. What kind of beliefs and emotions you suppressed to turn into this law, which then became a demon? That's a longer process. And they're actually the most difficult ones. See, the outside forces get thrown out just when you heal the aura, which is really about releasing unconsciousness. Those deeper self-created demons are more difficult and more stubborn. You can't just pull them out because you actually have to break down the conditioning that's created them. Understanding what their law is. What's the law they're protecting? What's the emotions gone into that law? See, when you break that down, you don't just release a demon, you release the whole kind of level of conditionings and memories that go with it. It's a bigger process.
How can you heal from mental illness and suicidal ideation?
But first of all, the suicide is part of the spleen pattern, the apathy, which leads to a death wish when you give up, don't even want to live anymore. That's the apathy coming in, spleen. So really, you have to feel that. When you stop and welcome it, you feel like you want to die, you feel the hopelessness, you feel like giving up a whole lot, and as you welcome it and release it, you move on. And then you get other emotions, of course, so you get to the grief. So if you look at that, of the creation of the suicidal state, it's gone through certain layers. There was a great grief. You push it further down into apathy. It's going to come out the other way. Chance I might have numbed a lot of off, so you go through unconsciousness, you go through all the apathy, your failure patterns, you're giving up, your death wishes, then all the grief comes out, there may be fear as well. You might have to go through various other memories and emotions before it's fully released. But obviously the death wish comes out with the release of apathy, feeling it, feeling the apathy. It will lead to grief too, but obviously that's at that stage the death wish is gone. But you have to complete the process and get all the grief out as well. Mental illness can be many things, of course, but you see, even Even the death wish can be seen as a mental illness, but it's only one type we've defined here. Obviously, each mental illness is going to have a different cause. But basically, if you heal emotionally, quite often this is what's disturbing the mind anyway. All these kind of emotions you're allowed to feel is making you crazy. So many judgments of the world saying, don't feel this, don't feel that, or this is too painful, I push it away. That's what makes you crack in the end. So really, you avoid a lot of mental illness and heal some of the milder ones by going through this emotional process. When there's a major mental illness, it gets more difficult. You actually have to actually reposition and mend a fractured soul. Bits go missing, bits are split. That's a far more of an inner energy work that's to be done in the underworld. It can be done, yes.
Difference between courage and bravery, which is stronger and why, logical intuition in relation to purposeful risk taking?
We have to look at definitions here because obviously people use these definitions in different ways. I mean, if you actually look in the dictionary, if you look at courage, it'll say bravery as well. The one leads to the other. And what does it really mean? See, the different kinds of courage here. Anytime you have to overcome your fear and actually do something you're afraid to do, you're exercising courage. Simple. If you're not afraid, it doesn't take any courage, does it? Like somebody, you might get up and actually do something that other people are afraid of, but they're not afraid. It's not courage, it's just natural. It's not courage to them. Courage is really actually doing what you need to in spite of your fear. Many things we do stretch you a bit and involve a bit of fear. When you get out of your comfort zone, stretching further, doing something you haven't done before, facing some dangers, facing some conflicts, all these require courage because you're overcoming a fear. But you don't do it just because you want to be brave, you do it because there's a reason to do it. Doing something dangerous just for the sake of it is not courage. That's just no, that's bravado and it's stupid. You're risking yourself for nothing. And there's something you want to get to. You have to go through your fear to get there. But when you do it, that's courage.
All right, so if there are any other questions, then please do keep them coming into the chat. One from Stefan here. Excuse me. Last workshop, we did a meditation with our higher selves for a manifestation. How much time should one give for something to manifest before moving on and putting our energy into something else? And for that particular workshop, oh, do you want to answer that first?
Well, yes, we can, because the time changes as you get better at it. And there are other influences you can look at, which affect how fast things manifest. And we're actually covering a lot more of that on the Manifestation Center course. We can look at what accelerates manifestation to make it happen. It's possible if you actually start a meditation, a thing manifests before you've even finished. Time is an illusion. Your higher self knows you're creating before you even do it. So therefore, there's no reason it can't manifest before you've even finished. How long it takes is how long you decide it's going to take in the end. How much if it's within your belief system, in your comfort zones. See, it's a very difficult one when you're actually about to manifest something and happens because you have the commitment to complete manifestation. If it's manifest, then you don't do the manifest. Then don't do the manifest process because it's already happened. Then is it going to disappear again? Are we messing with timelines here? It takes a certain level of responsibility to actually allow past manifestation. And also, it takes even more responsibility if you realize your power of it. How quickly can manifest things when you put your mind to it? There are no excuses anymore. So there are many things which determine how fast it happens. There's no fixed amount here. And as you actually work through these blockages, it's going to get faster and faster. So right now, okay, it takes as long as it takes. I can't say how much of this, but it will get faster as you actually work through different blockages and learn more.
Great word in the next part of the question. I love it. And for that particular workshop, if we do want to redo the meditation to manifest something more pressing that we need now, will our other manifestation we did the first time just fizzle, that word, or can we visualize the first manifestation on one day and then every other day we work on the second newer manifestation?
Yes, you can do that. See, once you've actually changed the resonance, it's already happening. Even if you just do it once, because remember, you're changing resonance here. In the bit with this, you higher self, the other thing, changing resonance, it's changed already because you've changed. It's happening. Don't know when it'll actually manifest, but it is happening. So even if you just do it once, it's going to happen. You do something the next day, and again, your resonance changes. So your life is going to change some more, and something else happens. So, yes, you can do as many as you like. One thing doesn't necessarily stop another one. It changes it to a degree, yes, because maybe all these waves are coming together to change who you are. But it doesn't stop it. Doesn't make it fizzle out.
Next question. Intuition is represented as coming outside of us, God inspired, but logic does not. It is always seen as coming from our own brain and mind. Can we tap into divine logic, inspired logic?
That isn't logic, then, is it? Logic is defined as a process of inductive or deductive reasoning, extrapolation or interpolation. That's a process. It's something we do mentally. If it comes straight out from the source, that's not logic, that's intuition. That's the difference. So there's no point talking about divine logic because it isn't logical. There is no such thing as divine logic because what comes in from the source is intuition. Of course, there's many other ways of knowing. And rather than actually just limit to intuition and logic, it's good to understand how different ways we know. See, the logical process we might consider linear knowing. It's how we go to school and learn things. You have a portal study from beginning to end. By the end, you should know it. You pass an exam, right? You've got qualification. Trouble is with that is the qualification is only on paper. It says nothing about your ability to use it in your life. Then there's the kind of learning through experience. You know, you might not have studied a long course linearly, but your experience lets you be able to do something. That's another kind of knowing. There's also the tangential knowing. You're trying to learn one thing and suddenly something else comes up along the way you've learned, which wasn't your intention. There's vertical knowing, it's dropped straight into place. That's intuition. It's just dropped in there. You did nothing about it. It's just there, you know. There's so many different ways of knowing. And trouble is, in the human world, we only seem to value the linear knowing. We don't develop the rest. Yet when you really look, there's so many different ways we learn apart from that. People talk about learning curve, for instance. Learning can be curved too. It's not linear. So think about that. Apart from your qualifications, how has life taught you in so many other ways? Through learning curves, the tangential knowing, the experiences. Whenever you look, it's like linear knowing is such a small part, it doesn't mean anything. A qualification just on paper doesn't really get you far in the real world. You might need to get a job, but apart from that, it doesn't say anything about your experience and your level of skill. Many people can actually do a job far better than people who've got a piece of paper. Why? Because there's other forms of learning, other forms of knowing. So let's not just, so although I spoke about intuition and logic, it's like, realize that's not all there is. These are different ways of knowing. Logic is linear. Intuition is vertical knowing. There's many things in between. I've got under almost the two extremes here, but think about the things in between as well. The curved knowing, tangential knowing.
Define mental illness, and how do you know if someone has a mental illness or is having a spiritual crisis? For example, is being attacked from the astral or is being possessed by demons?
This we have to look really, know the history and what's it going. Now, I did write a blog about this whole thing about with the different forms of possession and which ones are real possessions and which one is kind of complexes in the own mind and so on. The thing is, people who are mentally ill are the ones who don't admit it. People who question themselves are usually ones who are not mentally ill. A mad person won't say he's mad. Other people go to Christ and think, am I going mad? So when you're questioning yourself, you're still pretty got your faculties. Now, mental illness is a strange thing because it comes down to definition. It can be manipulated by the authorities any way they like. Anything you do something outside what they think is their behaviour they want of you, there's an illness. Like, for instance, these days they've got something called DDD, Disability Defiant Disorder. If you're not doing as you're told, they can medicate you. All control. Any time you're not actually doing what they want, they can actually label you as mental illness. So think about that one first of all. Because many things that people have seen as mental illness have been part of a process of expansion. Within shamanism, for instance, many shaman were first on the edge of schizophrenia. Something was splitting inside them. They recognized this potential and trained them. In our world, you know, in modern Western society, where it's too rational and everything defined, they don't do that. When somebody's schizophrenic, it's not medicating them, but they don't actually get to where they're going. They don't actually use the conscious process properly. So really, one needs understanding to understand where the person is at. It takes a lot of experience and training to do that. But there are many things you can do. First of all, mental illness is there quite often because there's trauma. quite often a person's got so much going on, they push it down, something cracks, and people in the kind of doctor's surgery don't know how to deal with that. They can't handle people being emotional and letting it all out and breaking up. As you see when you do point holding courses, people scream and let it out all over the place, and they come out better. You know, it's just the way their society doesn't allow certain things. So when a person is having a big, you know, crisis, doesn't mean they're mentally ill. It's a process. It's a crisis. There's emotions that need to come out. If you actually learn to welcome those emotions, they come out whole. They come out expanded. If they keep stuffing them down and don't know how to handle them, something cracks. They can still be repaired because that crack is simply there because they push something away and don't want to experience it. So the personality splits. It all comes down in the end to welcoming everything and not judging anything. If you don't judge the emotion, you don't judge what you're going through, you don't judge any part of yourself, you let it be whole. You welcome the emotions and they pass. All the mental illness comes from not observing these two simple things: non-judgment, allowing your feelings.
Is question of the soul and logic of the brain, or are they both in the soul and in the brain?
Logic is more mental, it's in the brain. Intuition actually comes beyond the soul. The soul, yes, is linked to intuition, but actually the soul always has your depth of feeling, which is part of it. It holds all the feminine side of yourself, all those inner deeper qualities. But intuition comes straight from source. It's beyond feeling, beyond anything. It's just knowing.
So, a question now about Chandali. Once we are on level 8 Vajragini, which that is our main daily Chandali meditation, I assume. What
Yep.
about level 9 Dumavati? Can you give some practical uses and situations when we would go to use that level and how?
Remember that one voids things. There are times when you think of an entity or a law, you don't want to actually have to go through all the entities to avoid it. So use that specifically. It's not for daily use because that one actually voids things. You can be used as a meditation if you're going more into the void to understand the Akasha principle, yes. But that can be actually a bit unbalancing on its own if you're not in the right space for that. So the Vajragini level is best for daily practice, to keep raising the Kundalini. When you've come across something you simply want to avoid and make it vanish, use Dimavati. Remember, Dimavati ate Shiva. She eats everything. She can just consume it and it's gone. That's the void energy. So basically, it's similar to the pep talisman we use in the psionics. It voids things. There are times you want to actually unravel things and work them out and change them. There's some things you just want to avoid and it's gone. You don't want to avoid your emotions. You're in a process there. You know, if you avoid your emotions, then you're dead. You have to feel. You welcome things and move through. But things like entities, laws, fixed patterns, habits, you can avoid. So you might come across, say, a habit, and it's not enough to process it mentally and go through all the emotions because there's a fixed energy here that keeps repeating itself. It's a living thing. It's taken on a form of conscious of its own where it wants to repeat itself. And like anything living, it wants to survive. Therefore, it'll keep repeating that habit. In spite of your logic and your feelings and everything, that thing, that energy, has to be voided. Then the habit stops. Doesn't even require any posts around that one. We're going to be looking at it on the next workshop when we're dealing with habits. Once you recognize the entity of the habit, you void it and it's gone. It stops. You've killed it, basically. That's what Dumavati is used for.
Package have a meditation that upgrades the Vajragini level to even higher levels, and what does it include?
If you are on the regular upgrades, I'll be sending out new Chandali accounts every week. But you see, they're not necessarily higher than Vajragini. They simply add different qualities to it from different deities. Some are for protection, some for shielding. Some bring in different qualities of the deities, like, you know, Lakshmi for abundance and Shiva for more, and Sarasvati for more wisdom. Shiva for even more transformation. It raises, kind of leads to a new level where you become even more transformative. So there are many things we add to it with all the different empowerments. Because the thing about Kundalini, it is the divine power. All the different deities, everything in there is part of it. So though we raise it as a whole, we can keep adding new bits which actually awaken its different qualities. So Vajragini is considered the highest, but it's like we add to how it grows and expands in many ways in your life.
A bit about what it is that you're talking about. You said that if you are on the upgrades or something.
Yeah, basically, there's It is mentioned on the website and even on the course that you can actually sign up for the regular upgrades. So you can just make a monthly donation. It's by donation, so you pay what you like. You know, whatever you can afford is okay. I'm not actually charging a lot. It's just there should be some exchange. And whatever you can afford, and I send you regular upgrades, new levels of Dali. There are many of them. We've got the shields and armors and Vajra bodies of all the different deities. And many levels of this, and there's so many different qualities, there's so many different things we add to it. So the path can keep going, you keep growing with this. There's more and more to gain from it. I send out two or three new achievements every week for you on that list. So if you're interested in going further, then look that up. You know, go back to the website or the course, look a bit where you can actually sign up to do them regular upgrades.
Yeah, if we could get the link to that page in the chat, that would be great. But I was going to ask you, Peter, is there any prerequisites that anyone has to have done before being able to join this list?
Just have done the Chandali at least to level 4. If you've done the course, of course you've got it right to Vajragini, you're fine. But anybody
Brilliant.
who's got the Chandali can go on to the higher ones.
And when you say the course, you're referring to the Ultimate Healing Course.
That's right, yeah. There you get all the if you get Ultimate Healing Course 2, you've got all the accounts up to Vajragini and Dhumavati, so you're ready for anything there.
So
If
is
you're not
that
having
the
done the
same?
course, if you haven't done the course but you've done Chandali separately up to at least level 4, you can have the upgrades.
And Stefan was talking about the specific Kali package, like the new Tanaga Dalam packages that are £400. So he's saying, what does the Kali package have? Does it have any meditations that upgrades the Vajragini level?
Oh no, the Kali package is all about Kali. Again, they are linked to Chandali, but that's these are all the Kali ones. You get her armor, her shield, her Vajra body, her various things, and then the high levels of it, which keep taking higher and higher. So there's a whole load of Kali empowerments. You can do one off the other, keep increasing its power.
I hope that answers your question, Stefan. It does, yes. Thank you very much. So that is it for today, then. Oh,
Okay.
no, one more question coming. Speaking of bad habits and the upcoming bad habit workshop, the good habits, Stefan. Don't forget those. How much does natural tobacco affect our spiritual progress? And if we are eating really clean vegetarian diet for point holding for the manifestation course, can one still do the pranic activation if we have a smoke once in a while? When you say smoke, do you
Yes.
just mean tobacco, or are you talking about marijuana? I don't even know if it's
He mentioned pure
you didn't
tobacco.
natural
Think about
tobacco,
tobacco.
yeah.
The thing about tobacco is how you use it. Tobacco is a very sacred medicine because it amplifies thoughts, it grounds prayers. Whatever's in your mind at that time is being grounded into the body. Therefore, use it consciously. Always pray with it. Decide what you're focusing on because whatever's in your mind while you're smoking, that's what you're putting into you. It's carrying those thoughts into the body and also connect it more to the heavens to actually manifest things. So be aware of its power. Be conscious when you smoke. Pray with it. Focus intent and keep your mind on something positive that you want to actually put more power into. It can be a very powerful medicine if you use it that way. And this is why it's irresponsible not to use it that way, because you don't know what negative thoughts you're putting in. Think about this. It's not just the physical effect of smoking that, say, causes like cancer. It's the thoughts you hold. They get stronger. It's why different people die of different things with smoking. They don't all get the same disease. It depends which thoughts they're amplifying. You take a packet with those whole pictures and these days telling you that smoking kills, so that's what's going in. You don't want to read that when you're smoking, do you? So be aware then that it's going to amplify thought powers. It's going to ground those thoughts into the body. Therefore, be conscious of that when you smoke to make sure you're actually praying with it, putting intent into it, knowing what it is you're grounding.
Same said be for red wine.
What's
When
that?
you drink it, can the same said be for red? Can you say the same for
Not the
red
same.
wine?
Not the same notes. Tobacco is a different. Tobacco is pretty energy-free grounding. It's considered the grandfather plant in the medicine world. It's that physical grounding, earthing, focusing energy which helps you help you focus your prayers and bring them into the body. Alcohol is different. There's other things. I mean, it can loosen you up and open you up. If you're working the other way from tobacco, which is focused, it's more masculine. You might say the grapes is more feminine.
Well, then bring on the feminine power. Everybody, thank you so much for your contribution to today's workshop, for your questions and the conversations that we have had. So, reminder, all the links are in the chat for the most recent article that Peter has written, for links to the Manifestation Center point holding course, for whatever else we talked about today. Oh, the upcoming Bad Habits, Good Habits workshop that's happening at the end of the month. And of course, don't forget that we've got the upgraded relationship and love magic offer in the chat as well. So there is a discount until Wednesday that you can grab your hands on. And that's it. So next month in November, we are going over to a, is it student or open Q&A? I can't remember. I don't know. Don't remember.
Right, no, which one's this? That'll be the student one next year.
All right, let's remove your spotlight. Have a wonderful, wonderful October and Halloween. Enjoy everybody, and we will see you all, well, those of you that can come on the magical student workshop at the end of the month. Take care,
Okay.
everyone. Thanks for
Bye.
your
See you all.
contributions. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.